Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today, we're finally getting into my 21-point message.
And so what we find out really quickly is it's 19 points too many. Way too many fill in the blanks. Not the best sermon in the world, but here's some great takeaways. We talk about how to ask your kids really tough questions that will help you handle some tough situations that will be in their life and maybe help them combat porn and other homosexuality and different things that could come up along their journey. We picture me rolling.
So tell me more about this Thrive, this floating in the salt tank, because you know, Jennifer and I went to Israel several years ago. And
floated
in the Dead Sea. It was a super.
Hey, by the way, I do have to have Thrive on. Did that make you super, like, think of it maybe like in your head? Like,
well, we were talking about it on the last podcast. That was a long time ago. Like, yeah. I want to get in a hyperbaric chamber. Like, have you done that before?
I want to drown you in the float tank. I want to get you in the, you need to get in the cold tub. How about that? Let's see you get in the cold tub.
I am the biggest wimp. Yes. I don't think I could get in the cold tub.
So hyperbaric chamber basically gives you pure oxygen. So like it helps you. You don't get pure oxygen when you're just walking around. So this is a form of getting it into your system, into your blood really quickly. So it'll help you recover. It'll help you do thinking, clarity, your cell damage, all
that stuff.
How long
do you get in there for?
I mean, you can get in there for 30 minutes. You can get in there for an hour. I mean, you can get in there for 2 hours if you really want to. Like, we definitely have had...
Doesn't it heal your body quicker?
Like, yes, 100%. The NFL guys, like, they sleep in them.
Okay.
A lot of those guys, especially when they have injuries, they 100% sleep in them. They lay in them, sleep in them so they can get pure oxygen so they can recover.
How much would it cost me to buy one of those and put it in my house?
A hyperbaric chamber?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I bet you could probably get one you can get them on the cheaper, probably, you know, spend you a good 10 grand or something, maybe 20 grand.
Okay, I was just curious. Not that I have that. But
I mean, you can
I'd rather join Thrive.
I'm about to say, just join Thrive for, well, that's the coolest thing about what we did with Thrive. That's a fun business model. Like, again, we ain't going to get rich off of cold tubs, cryotherapy, oxygen chambers, the float tank.
Like, what is cryotherapy?
Cryotherapy is when you stand in the cold and it puffs out and it's negative 175. You want to talk about rethinking your life?
Why would you want to do that?
It'll make you rethink your life. Like,
well, who is doing that? Have you done it?
100%. Like, the black diamond is the hardest setting. And I did 2.5 minutes the other day. And when I say that my eyes were watering and it froze to my cheek. Like, it literally froze on my cheek. That's how flipping cold it is.
Why are you doing that?
Because it's good for my body.
What does it do, though?
Well, there's a bunch of huge benefits, but like with the inflammation in your system, it's actually really good for your skin. We're also getting the new superhuman protocol. Have you heard about that at all?
No.
Like, we're getting the UV beds. Dude, this will like be like a huge
bed?
Event. No, it's not a tanning bed. No. this is all like really healthy stuff. Basically what we've done is we've put all that stuff under one umbrella to make it a membership. And so you can use it unlimited, all the different things. But it's only for, it's literally like 100 something bucks a month where you have unlimited access. If you go and get a float tank in Houston, there's one in Houston. It's like $55 a session. You go do oxygen chamber in Athens. It's that, like, you go through the There's a cold tub place in Athens that's to be a member is like $40 a month. You know, like, and we have all these in one thing. And again, I told you, like, there's therapeutics. Like, there's the other side too with the anti-aging and all that stuff. With a lot of the women use that like crazy, and that's their thing. But this is like for people that really want to change their body and be healthy. Like, this will take your workouts, like your recovery time, it'll cut it in half if you use some of this stuff. Like, your quality of life will go through the roof. But again, it's just like me telling people to go work out too. Like, now hey, go work out.
Is there a gym there too, or is it just
no
gym? Only this. Like, is there? It's only this stuff.
Yeah, this is at Wire Park.
So you work out somewhere else, and then you go.
Yeah,
you
would there's
go
actually there. There's actually a Fit boot camp there, like that you could actually work out, go to cryotherapy, go to all the other stuff you want to do if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. Are you really interested, or are you just asking questions?
It's a long way from my house. It's like, a long way. Is this like a franchise, or you're going to have these at different?
Yeah, we're probably going to do this all over the place. I mean,
if I lived in Athens, I think I would fun. Do. I mean, but it's like a good hour from my house.
I would love to see you in a cold tub. I have a cold tub out back at my house. How much would I have to donate to the church for you to sit in the cold tub for 10 minutes?
Probably seven figures.
Seven figures? For 10 minutes?
Yeah.
This is like, and this is a true story too. All Pastor Jay had to do was not shoot a basketball in a church league basketball game. And a member was going to give $10,000 to the church. And the first time he touched it, he pulled the trigger.
I think it was less than 2 minutes into the game.
Yes. Like, I mean, you're shoot or shoot. I know, shoot your shot. I get it. But like, there's a cold tub right out there.
What are you offering?
Should take my tithing away.
Take it away.
I'm not tithing anymore. I'm done tithing. I'm done tithing with Greystone Church.
Oh man. That sounds, are you bullying me?
Sounds like it. That would definitely be bullying. Legalistic? Pastor, Miss Jennifer would not like that.
Let me ask you about this. How's the intermittent fasting going?
It's good. I like it. Still love it.
How much weight have you lost?
I haven't lost any weight. I have a hard time losing weight.
Are you doing the intermittent fasting if you're not losing weight?
Because I like it. I'd like it
you,
a lot.
You just enjoy.
Yeah. I like fasting. I like going buy food in the morning, early afternoon, and just. I like being able to have to say no. I like being able to think about food and pray. Like I like that.
So component. It's more for spiritual.
No, it's both. I mean, reasons. It definitely helps. It definitely mm-hmm. keeps your discipline at an all-time high. Like if you can walk by it all day, then you can walk by it at night some. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I don't recommend it for everybody. And you got to do what's good for you and whatever makes you not overeat. But yeah, I like it. I think it's enjoyable. I mean, yesterday we went to. Or no, last week we went to Dalton and, you know, I hadn't eaten all day long and then we got there at like 3 o'clock and then had a protein bar right before our like practice before the game and then a couple of turkey sticks and then coached and then came home and had some cottage cheese and some Greek yogurt and ready to rock and roll. Just
sounds miserable.
Feeling froggy, baby. Let's go.
Are you like you getting like hangry? Like are you like irritable to be around?
No, I think, I mean, my wife might disagree, but I think.
Yeah.
No,
Jennifer likes me. She's happy. She wants me to be about 5 pounds overweight and happy than like.
Miserable.
Underweight and miserable. But I'm trying.
Yeah. You're eating less chocolate covered blueberries?
I am.
Are you still on your, I mean, you still doing your diet that this person gave you that, you know, that we've talked about
I'm
for like 20 years?
Yeah. So I've lost 8 pounds since Super Bowl.
That's not bad.
I was at 204. I was at 196 this morning.
Okay.
I was down to 193 last week, and then I had a rough weekend. So Jolyn's dating a girl who's a baker. She's like a professional baker.
See, the most important part about that is what y'all don't understand is that Jolyn's dating a girl. Jolyn is Pastor Jay's son. Like, we've been waiting for this moment for him to find a decent girl, and I think he's finally got one.
Yeah, but pretty exciting.
Bakery, huh? She works at a bakery?
She works at the Special Needs and Treats.
Ah.
And she's a professional baker. And so she
What does that mean?
Like, she bakes cakes for a living.
So you're called a professional baker?
I mean,
why can't you just be a baker?
Well, she could just be a baker, but it's,
why do you call her a professional baker?
Well, it's like a professional athlete versus an athlete. Like, you're getting paid to do whatever it is. So she's getting paid.
So do other bakers not get paid?
Well, Jennifer doesn't get paid. I mean, she bakes.
Well, I'm just saying that when you work at a bakery, do you get paid?
I hope so. I'm not sure how much they get paid, especially needs and treats.
I'm not talking about there. I'm just talking about if you're a baker, you bake and you get paid for it, I think. I mean,
what I'm saying is she's not just doing this as a little side thing. Like, this is her full-time job.
She's a full-time
baker.
Full-time professional baker.
She made a cake for Jennifer's birthday.
Oh.
And strawberry cake. So it's the same recipe from the Blue Rooster. I've mentioned this before. You've never had the strawberry cake from Blue Rooster in Monroe.
No.
So, but that set me back a little bit over the weekend. And but it was hard. But I'm gonna stick with it. So I'm trying to get down to 187. Andre King, you know Andre King.
Oh yeah.
He wants me at 187.
A real professional athlete.
Yeah, he's a real professional. And he still looks like – he's super healthy.
Yeah.
He doesn't eat anything from an animal.
Is that called a vegetarian or a pescatarian or what's the – like? I know it's an Itarian.
Some type of – maybe vegan.
Vegan? Okay.
But he doesn't even eat eggs.
Okay, because they're meat technically, because they come from chicken?
Well, anything from an animal he doesn't eat. So he's basically like a plant-based –
eggs are fantastic.
Plant-based diet. Here we go again, Wes, on the fitness.
eggs are really, really good for you.
Eggs are very expensive right now as well.
Yeah.
Wes just said eggs are expensive.
I had two eggs this morning and chomp.
Chomp stick.
That's what I have for breakfast. That's pretty good. I mean, I thought you'd be proud of me.
That's solid. It's good for you. And it's not a surprise why you're getting less fat.
Yeah. Lot less sugar.
Imagine
and a lot
that.
Less carbs.
Wes, I don't know that we've ever heard that before.
It would have been great if you could have helped me. I had to get somebody else to help me.
I feel like I've been here before.
Although, Wes says he's having deja vu.
Lindsay really helped me because she told me about the David protein bars, which are way more healthy
I got to get somebody to look into that, by the way. Is that not the perfect sponsorship? How is that not like the perfect sponsorship?
Yeah.
Like David's protein bars. It's not mine, but that's what they call it. And it's the healthiest protein bar that we've seen.
Like, yeah.
It's really, really good for you. It tastes good. It's got those little crisp in it that makes it
zero sugar.
Better. Yeah. That's what we stay away from. I feel like we've talked about that.
We've had this conversation before. So I wanted us to get back to my sermon from a couple of weeks ago when we only got 9 out of the 21 blanks.
Uh-huh.
So I thought we would dive into that.
Okay.
So
fire away.
So the title of this message is A Way Out. So we're mainly talking about a way out of temptation. So not letting temptation lead to sin. And of course, this is a very broad spectrum because everyone's tempted in different ways. And I think the enemy seems to tempt us in our weaknesses, like a strawberry cake. On the weekend.
Yeah. Just finds you, right? No, but I think it's obviously starts with the understanding that you're going to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter what your walk is, like it's okay. If you don't feel shame and guilt because you're getting tempted, that's going to happen. Like at every step, every walk, whatever it is you want to do and be successful at, you're going to be tempted by the other side of that coin regardless. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be tempted in your faith. And I think guys, you understand there's temptations growing up and you understand where you failed and where you succeeded, girls too. But like those temptations, if we identify them and we know what they are, I think it gives us a really good chance to combat them and be successful. So yeah, we're all going to be tempted.
I didn't get into this in the sermon, but you made me think about every man's temptation, which is lust. I think I think some ladies listen to the podcast, at least your mom and
Lindsay.
A few of the ladies. Jennifer.
We covered all three.
But pretty much male heavy on the podcast. But I would say lust, I don't know what the statistics are for men who look at pornography, but that's a major temptation for guys. And it's so accessible these days.
Like it was way harder. Obviously, in your day, they didn't even have computers, right, when you were growing up?
We didn't have computer. We had to find, like, a magazine in the woods that someone had discarded. Or maybe you might be at a friend's house whose dad might have had a Playboy magazine.
That feels very personal,
something.
By the way. A magazine in the woods.
Well, I'm sharing my personal experience.
I was about to say, we just had to find it in the woods. What are you talking about? Oh, okay.
It's like, the buddies.
Pastor Jay had a nudie magazine in the woods.
On the Huffy bikes and the tree fort, and then your buddy finds, hey, look what I found in the woods. That was probably the first time I saw.
He didn't find it in the woods. He brought it in.
Maybe he brought, that's the
nobody
first.
Nobody finds that in the woods, by the way.
That's the first time I saw a Naked lady.
Did you say naked?
Naked.
Naked. Okay, I'm not going to go there.
But back in the day, I mean, I grew up in the 70s and
correct.
80s.
Correct, and it's important for us who are getting older. Like, we've got to be in touch with how this is going to reach our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're raising your kids, if you don't think it's going to come through their social media, you ain't been on social media, mm-hmm. like, at all.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. If you don't think it's going to come through their devices, not just social media, how about the Oculus that everybody gives their kids that you put on your face that you can do the virtual reality? Okay. That has access to internet. Guess what internet accesses to? Porn. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big one to me, man, because I talk to a lot of parents and, like, you have to address this with your kids. Like, you have to talk about this. This is a real life thing. Like, your son, and I know women, some women deal with this too, but this obviously a big time male thing. Like, I talked to Nicholas probably a couple weeks ago and I was just like, man, you know, how are you doing with this? You know, like, porn is real, man. Like, and it's a real enemy. And I told him how I did it and how I used it and how it ruined my expectation of what sex was. And I was like, dude. And so if you're having this conversation with your kid, I was like, it's not real, buddy. Like, this is fake. This is not really what happens. Like, this is an actress. This is an actor. Like, this, you don't just open an app when you get older with your wife and all of a sudden you get to have sex. Like, and I say that ultimately, like, we have God's playbook, and sex was given to us between a male and a female, and it was for marriage, mm-hmm. right? Like, that,
it, and
for
it was
us to
intended
enjoy.
For pleasure.
It's awesome. And yeah. I told him that. I tell him that all the time. Like, it's fantastic when it's used correctly. But I also wanted to share with him, and I think it's our job as parents to discuss these things with kids, that when you're asking these questions about it and you're getting into their world, like, you understand, like, this is real. It's a real part of your world. This is how, like, you should handle it. You could handle it. You can always talk to us about it. But we just want to know, like, we kind of understand. And, like, if we can help in any way, shape, or form, let us know. But if you don't address these things with your kids, I think having
that open conversation is pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah. To be able to talk about that stuff with your kids is, I think it's critically important for their success, because when they hear about what things are from their friends and they hear about alcohol and they hear about drugs and they actually know what it is and they feel like empowered to come ask you if they want to ask more questions. Now, you got to be ready too. And the bigger the thing is, the more you underreact. Like, the bigger the problem that they come to you, like, try to really hold it in and underreact to whatever.
What do you mean by that? That's some good advice.
Well, I mean, so your kids are...
Don't be surprised.
Yeah, your kids are watching and your kids are reading your face and they can read your face and they know exactly how you respond. So if they're to come to you and say, so-and-so's doing X, well, you just calmly, like, don't overreact. And, like, listen, we're all human. We're all making mistakes. Like, that's a big mistake. So we sat down with Nicholas and Leah a couple weeks ago, and we asked them a bunch of questions. Like, what would you do if your friend told you they were pregnant? Just ask that question. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh crap. Like, that would not be good. And we're like, but what would you do? Like, would you condemn them? What would you tell them? Like, would you tell them to keep it quiet? Would you tell them to go abort the baby? Like, this is not something that happens a lot where we're at, but it's
y'all
also
having some real life conversations.
Well, we have a real life conversation so we can understand, like, don't compound a mistake, mm-hmm. right? Like, if that's ever something that happens, if that happens to one of y'all, like, and Leah said a great thing. Leah was like, well, you don't kill a baby. God doesn't want you to kill a baby. And we're like, exactly. But, mm-hmm. but by having that conversation and asking that question as a parent, who we have those opportunities all the time just to ask a simple question like that. And then, you know, ask about their friends. Which one of their friends do you think does this? Or all these questions that are very easy, and questions get answers, not how was your day? If you're asking how was your day, you're not going to get a good answer. Mm-hmm. Good. Sucked. Cheeks. Buns. Like, right. Like, you're mm-hmm. not going to get a good, but when you start to ask good questions and biblical questions like that, it's fun to give them the reins to talk about it. And then to be able to plug in and just show no judgment, like, this is what God's word says about it. We've done the same thing with homosexuality. Like, we've done that with all these different conversations that come mm-hmm. up that we can talk to our kids about so they know what God's word says about it. And we also know that we're not condemning you and we're not like saying X, Y, and Z, but like this is how we handle it. And you'll have an opportunity, a chance when those situations arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in the sermon, I laid out the bad news first and kind of what you already shared, that we're all going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
We're all going to sin. Now, Jesus didn't sin. He didn't fall into sin. The source of our temptation comes from within. And so we talked about that, our own evil desires and the big three sins, pride, lust, selfishness. But then also,
No. Don't skip over that. I need you to read that to everybody and break that down.
Okay.
Like that's not a little point. Like I think people need to hear that. Like I heard that and I was like, I've heard you say it before, but that's biblical and people need to understand, like, what are the biggest sins you're going, what are the biggest, you know, temptations and sins you're going to mm-hmm. struggle with? Like that's so huge.
So it says in James that God doesn't tempt us and he can't be tempted, but our temptations come from within, our own evil desires. We all have a sinful nature. And then in 1 John 2, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. But everything in the world, then he mentions the big three sins, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so the big three sins, lust, pride, selfishness. And those are really the root of every other sin, like pornography, what we're talking about, or sexual lust. Immorality, that's coming from lust. You know, getting a big head, being arrogant, being full of ourselves.
Like you last show when you were talking about how great you were. And
I was talking about how great the show is.
Yeah.
How great but that's just encouragement.
Encouragement. Positive, prideful encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah, but pride does come forward with the fall. And then of course, selfishness. A lot of the decisions we make that lead to sin is because we're selfish. We're thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking about
other
people.
Yeah. Like, and you talk about, like, I mean, it's just crazy. And when you have kids, I think it just, man, does it like really show you just how big of a piece of crap you are when it comes to that. And that's probably not the best way to say it, but like, I mean, I just,
well, I think marriage, you realize how selfish you are.
Yeah. But nothing and like
then,
kids.
Then when you have kids,
nothing like kids. Cause you're just like, you're messing up my routine. Like you're messing up what I do. And it's like, what? Like this little thing is solely dependent on you and cannot survive without you. And you're still griping or you're still moaning and upset. Like it's crazy, man. I think that I'm so thankful for kids. And so, because it's taught me so much about me, but the selfishness is a big deal. And I think selfishness comes in too with idols. Like I put idols in there. Like,
what do you mean by that?
Because like, we all have idol problems in this world. In this world we live in, an idol is anything you put before God. So your phone is an idol. Mm-hmm. Like it's an idol. I don't care who you are. Your phone is an idol because you're on this more than you're in the word. True?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to text, you're going to play games, you're going to do social media. Like you're going to spend so much time on this thing throughout the day where it takes away from your relationship with God. Like, it smacks me in the face all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'll do this, this, and this, but oh, I did my devotional this morning. Really knocked it out the park. Mm-hmm. Like, I gave God 15 minutes this morning. Like, that's not winning. And so, I mean, I think what I'm really starting to learn and that's really helping me, and again, I am not perfect. I'm not claiming to be perfect, but like building God into my routine more is really helping me. And it's just little things though, but like, you know, It's a simple thing, but before games, you know, a lot of times you pray. Well, like having a specific spot, a specific time when you accomplish mm-hmm. that. I think a lot of people wake up their morning and start like that. Like a lot of people end their day like that. A lot of people pray before food, but like when going into a meeting, when going into speaking, when going into these things, like just continue to keep God on your brain all day and like continue to think about him and his word. And instead of being always, I need to do this, I need to do that, just invite him into those things. And that's, listen, I'm learning and I'm not perfect at it and I continue to struggle with it. But the more routines you can build around that, like build that routine in where, you know, I eat, I'm going to thank him, you know, and I get up, I'm going to do this. I go to bed, I'm going to do this before work, I'm going to do this. Before I have a meeting, I'm going to do this. And I think we'll start to probably have a little more success with it.
Yeah, one of the guys in my discipleship group last Wednesday night was talking, because we were talking about the daily quiet time in the morning, but then we were looking at, I think it was Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth.
Meditate on it day and night.
Day and night. And so he was sharing with his routine that he has a certain quiet time he does in the morning. He watches this video devotion from a guy. He gets an email every day, so he gets it every day. And then he does a certain thing at lunch. Before he eats lunch, he reads like a couple of chapters of something. And then he does another couple chapters of something else in the evening.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then before he goes to bed. But he also coaches kids sports. He says, you know, we pray every practice. So it's kind of what you're talking about. But he has it built into, he's got it set up to where, I was like, man, God's telling Joshua, morning and night, you're getting breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, you're getting three times a day. But I like the structure
if we don't have
had there, because he had a set thing every day.
If you don't bake it in, it won't be there. Mm-hmm. It's just like anything else. If you're not intentional with it, it won't be there. So that's on you. Like, if you're somebody, I want to grow. Well, bull crap. Do something about it. So, like, if you really want to grow spiritually, then you know, we talked about the 5-5-5 a couple, that was a long time ago now. Like, you know, 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of in the word, 5 minutes of writing a day. Like, those are goals that you start making and you write down and you hold yourself accountable to. Like, they're not just going to happen. And don't just go, oh, this is just my routine. This is just how I do it. I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. No, you do it if it's important to you. If it's important to you, you'll do it. Yeah. Like, that's what drives me nuts. Just like with diet, with you. If it's important enough, you'll do it. Like, if your body really, if you do care about your body and your body is a temple and you want to live and maximize it and get everything out of it you can for the rest of your life and live a healthy, long life, like, you got to do something about that. And so I think some people are professionally really driven and check every box. And then, but when it comes to their family life, not just their spiritual life, their family life, they get the scraps. But if I intentionally write things down and have these goals and start to say, I'm going to do this with my family, I'm going to do this, like creating memories with your kids. Like, it doesn't take any talent to create memories with your kids. You can create them anywhere, but you can be very intentional. Like, I'm going to create a memory. I'm going to walk in the house and do something crazy, right? Like, I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to have music in my pocket. I'm going to dance. I'm going to dress up and do something crazy. I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to wrestle with it. Like, I have those moments every day where I can create those memories. I can do the same thing with my wife, right? Like,
did you just say you showed up to the house in a Batman costume?
You never done that?
No.
That's just me. That's weird. My name is Batman.
You showing up in the bedroom in a Batman costume?
Whoa, gow. That was a big turn. That just went, this is not that kind of show, Pastor Jay. That's not what we talk about on this thing, man.
Hey, we're talking about marriage.
Yeah, that's part of it.
It's intended for pleasure.
I like it. You know, the cool thing is I love that you do these sermons and you have these notes, and we literally covered like two questions of it or two parts of it. And so now we can just wait to the next show.
We've only gotten into point two of the 21 points.
I mean, 21 is too many.
I agree.
That's about
agreed.
We're in point two, so that's 19.
It was a different. It was. I like to keep people guessing.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. This next week, I may have no points. It might. The sermon might be pointless.
I've experienced that with you before. But no, I think that was good though. But if you're gonna, you know, have a few takeaways, like, I think make sure we understand sin's a real thing, right? Like, that's temptation is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And what's our game plan? What's our battle plan? And how do we talk to our kids in ways where we can ask questions about some of their sin, some of their temptation? Hey, bud, what are you tempted with? What's temptation? Oh, well, here's temptation. Like, here's what tempts me. Like, that, you want to disarm like your kids? Like, here's what tempts me. Like, I get tempted by this. Like, do you get tempted by this? How do you handle this? Like,
I think sometimes parents are afraid to be that vulnerable with their kids because they think they're going to open a door that their kids don't know anything about.
That doesn't make sense to me. Explain that. What do you mean?
So,
like, they're not going to know how to say it or what to say, what that is?
No, so, like, let's just say if you confess to your son that I struggle with pornography. Like, you're opening the door to them possibly looking at pornography.
But that door's already open.
That's all throughout their life. That's the point, yeah.
Yeah, like, that door is like, open on their phones.
Typically, they already know about something before. Yes. And I've shared the story before, but I waited too late to give Joel and the birds and the bees talk.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, shut up, bro. Like, no crap, Dad. I'm 21, thank you. No, but I think that that door is already open. So they already know about it. They already have access to it. So let's give them, like, maybe let's give some armor to them that they can actually go defeat it and not, because here's another thing too. It's just like their relationships with girlfriends and boyfriends. You open that box and you allow something to continue to happen and you allow them to start doing things together at a high rate. And this, well, like, you're not getting that genie back in the bottle. Like, the next relationship will come whether it's good or not. So what are we starting with? And how can we start them down the path of talking about a lot of subjects, a lot of things that they're ready for? They're not like, ooh, holy cow, that's what porn is? Like, and they kind of know what cursing is, they know what sex is, and they know what homosexuality is. Like, they kind of have an understanding. And you can start that when they're really young. I mean, you can start that at 6, 7, 8 years old and just start saying some of those terms where it's not like a huge shock, but I think they're going to be exposed to that. There is no opening a box. Like, let's help them be able to close the box. Mm-hmm. Let's help them not to fly wide open. And they're like, that's fantastic. What is that? Like, I wanted to say something else, but I can't say that. Like, ooh.
So I've shared on the podcast before, and I think I've told you, one of our former pastors, Nate Rector.
Nate's fantastic.
Discipled Jolin and his buddies all the way from like 6th grade through high school. But Nate came to all the parents and said, how do you guys feel about me holding the boys accountable sexual purity? And so he asked our permission, but I really thought it was great that someone else, another person they looked up to spiritually, was also actually holding them accountable. And they were holding each other accountable.
Yeah, which is huge.
Then not just the parents. Holding them accountable.
Well, when you got the friends that do it, it's just like a team, a football team. And we'll close with this because we need to wrap it up. But like a football team, it's great to be a great team and to have great coaches. But the teams that are really successful are players led, right? Like that the coach doesn't have to do everything. The players are going to take ownership and start to lead. It's no different. Like they've got to be able to take that information and be able to convey it to others. But again, why they believe it, why they stand by this conviction, why it's important to them, and then they can kind of explain it to other people. And when they can explain it to other people, they can hold other people accountable and like they understand what that possibly means. So good conversations to have with your family.